try taking everything out of your pockets, including, well, all the notes in your wallet or all the business cards you've kept over these ages, this is your Rolodex. Now, out of this pile, say you want to look at an item that relates to a project at work or maybe summer camp for the kids or perhaps a new pastime like remodeling your house. Now, chances are it'd be tough, but if you had jotted it all down on a Newton message pad, you could find what you're looking for instantly.
Cast the best 3+ minute Apple conversation you're gonna hear all week long. I'm your host, Arifin Elijah. We have so much stuff to talk about today, and we have just the most excellent guests you could wish for. We have Buster Hein. He's here. Buster,
hey.
Alexi Heath is here.
Hello.
Leander is taking a big swig of something. What do you got, Leander?
It's about big coffee. Everywhere.
Yeah, I bet it is. We've also got Adam Christensen from probably one of Apple's longest running podcasts, the MacCast. Is that right, Adam?
Yeah, it's not Apple's though. It's mine. So.
Oh, well, it's your own podcast. Longest running Apple podcast. Hey, you know what? Seems like Apple's starting to scoop up Apple journalists. So maybe you could be next.
Right.
Oh.
That's what I'm holding out for.
That's Leander's exit plan.
Didn't we have this conversation on a show about do you want to go work for Apple?
I think we did, yeah. And I think your answer was absolutely not, if I recall correctly. Although now that we've seen those new helicopter videos or the drone image videos of the new campus, I don't know, man. Mm-hmm. Looks like it's going to be a cool place to work.
I don't know. I think it looks like a Mesoamerican sacrificial temple. I'm a little worried about it.
Well, the inner sanctuary part might be. There's going to be like a hall of jobs where they do the sacrifices. We have got so much stuff to talk about this week. It really is kind of just a jam-packed week. We're going to be talking about the fappening. It's all fappening! Anyone seen Almost Famous? Anybody? We're going to be talking about that because this story just cannot be more crazy. And obviously, there's a huge Apple hook. But we're also going to be doing our predictions for next week's Apple event because, gosh, there's so much hardware that could be released. I want to hear what you guys think on what we'll see and what we won't see. So we'll get into that in the second part of the show. Before we hop into it all, I want to thank our sponsor, Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. Check it out. If you need a website for a free trial, head on over to squarespace.com and sign up for a free trial. They don't need your credit card information or anything like that. Give it a shot. If you like it, you can enter code CULTCAST at checkout to save 10% off any order. I also want to thank Automatic for sponsoring this episode. Automatic is your smart driving assistant on your smartphone. And these things are really cool. They're basically like a little dongle that you plug into your car. You guys know I'm a fan of dongles.
Can I use a dongle with this? Does it make you uncomfortable when I use the word dongle?
Talking about the fappening already?
Sorry, I moved ahead of us. So you plug it into your car, and it does all sorts of cool things. By the way, if you have a car made after 1997 in the United States, it probably works on your car. It analyzes your driving, so it tells you if you're braking too hard, if you're accelerating too fast, and gives you tips on saving gas. It also will tell you where you've parked. So I don't know if you guys have ever had this happen to you. You park somewhere, and you come out, and you're like, where did I park?
And then you like every day.
Leandro, he lives in that episode of Seinfeld where they're looking for the car the entire episode. Every time he parks. That happens to me sometimes too. Sometimes I forget where I park and end up walking around different blocks looking for my car. And I think probably one of the coolest features is if your check engine light comes on, Automatic will diagnose those. And if it's like not a very serious problem, it will actually allow you to turn the check engine light off. And then if you crash your car, it will also notify the proper authorities that you're stranded and your car is about to light on fire and you need help immediately, probably to be evac'd out to some hospital nearby. It's a very cool product, and it makes your iPhone keep track of all this different information about your car and your driving habits, and it can save you a bunch of money, especially if your check engine light is on. Check it out yourself. Head on over to automatic.com/cultcast. They're normally $100. You'll save 20%, plus you'll get free shipping. By the way, Automatic works on Android and on iPhone. And Alex, you said they just launched a new web interface today?
Yeah, they have like a web dashboard now, so you can log in on any computer and see all of your information, and it's really nice. It's like really well laid out, and you can see like on a map all of your trips wherever you drive, and your mileage and all that information.
I was looking, and it's really cool how they have like the maps laid out, and it will show you, you know, like where you've gone, what your gas mileage was on those kinds of trips. So if you're interested in your actual driving habits and you want to see like where you've been, where you're going, I don't know if that's a feature, but
if you want to see where someone else has been, put this on another car.
Yeah, good idea. Like maybe head on over to Los Pollos Hermanos, plug it into a Volvo. You could track that car all day long. That's what I'm saying.
Track them cookie.
Track that cookie. In any case, I want to thank Automatic for supporting this episode. Automatic.com/cultcast. It's all fappening, gentlemen. Oh my goodness. The internet, I don't think I've ever seen the internet so excited. And as a Reddit user, I just got to say, Reddit was pretty excited about this huge leak of celebrity photos. Let me just caveat this conversation by saying it is kind of tragic that this happened. I mean, celebrities are people, and I can only imagine how embarrassed some of them might be. But, you know, it's kind of fun to poke fun at. And
but can we also caveat it by saying that like the same guys that are enraged over the NSA are the guys that are like loving this, like spreading this stuff?
I can't believe what the NSA is doing. Oh, the fappening.
That's the worst caveat I've ever heard.
Well, hey.
Barely keep a straight face for a second. So you're reveling in the schadenfreude.
I'm not reveling in it, but you gotta admit, the internet is funny. I mean, first of all, they named this thing the Fappening, which is probably one of the most hilarious names I've ever heard.
What's Fappening?
So have you ever seen the movie The Happening? It's like this really crazy, you shouldn't see it, by the way, it's a terrible movie. But it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie where all these people start dying and they're trying to figure out why.
It's like Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, why are people dying? I don't know. Where are they?
Say hi to your mother for me.
Hey, dog, how's it going? I like your fur. That looks really great. Say hi to your mother for me, okay?
Yeah. Why are people dying, goat? In any case, it's a play off that, which is why it's so funny. Does anyone want to tell us, just kind of summarize what happened here?
Oh, God.
Buster, I know you know. Don't even lie.
Summarize.
What happened as of like 2-3 days ago when this hit the internet? Like, what is the Fappening? Like, what exactly happened?
A bunch of famous female celebrities' pictures got stolen.
Now, was it only females?
There were no males.
There was Dave Franco next to some naked lady or something. Yeah,
really? Dave Franco got leaked too?
Yeah, my pics didn't get leaked.
Who? Yours were fine. Yeah.
Well, I'll just say I'm thankful they didn't break into my phone, because if they would have searched through my cloud, the videos and photos they would have found of L. Caney would have been terrible for his career.
Oh my God.
The ones at CES.
Yeah.
I was telling you guys, I mentioned this before we started recording, but I kid you not, I had a person come up who has an iPhone but is like not into tech at all. But this is how like mainstream this stuff goes now, right? He comes up to me today and I have like, okay, it sounds bad when I say it. I have a compromising photo of him on my phone as a joke. I use his blackmail. Uh-huh. It's a Snapchat he sent me, and I've had it for a while. And he's like, dude,
I'm sure he loves that you're telling this story.
I'm leaving him nameless. He goes, dude, I need you to delete that thing off your camera roll and make sure you delete it off the iCloud, because I don't need the Fappening happening to me. All right?
Like, dude, I don't think anyone's going to be the Fappening over that picture.
He's totally it's a pretty right, good though, picture. Isn't he?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, that's the thing. Like, all of this is trivial. I mean, it's not trivial, but as, like, dumb as it is, you know, that this happened, and it's totally changed, like, it drastically changes the public's perception of, like, Apple as a secure company. And, like, people that don't normally even think about it, because the media just runs with it, and, you know, Apple's iCloud is, you know, unsecure. And then they're going into next week, right? And they're going to be saying, oh, now we're going to store your financial information, your health, and everything.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah, these are all, but there's a lot of caveats here, right? So I mean, you know, it's still not clear if it was Apple that was hacked or if it was Jennifer Lawrence that was hacked.
Well, it's pretty clear what happened is they had access to all of their Apple IDs and their passwords, and then they downloaded their photos from PhotoStream remotely or the backups and pulled it from that.
And so Apple's saying that there was no quote unquote breach, right? Which is like a that's actually a sort of term of the art, right? So it's a, you know, iCloud wasn't hacked per se. It was right. Each of these individual users was hacked.
Yeah, and you know about lawyers showing
but
that word.
I think there's like a flaw with that because they're saying like, oh yeah, somebody didn't hack our servers. They didn't like get around our software, but like they were able to like find the key to like, you know, this vault of pictures pretty easily for 100 celebrities and just steal the pictures without anybody noticing. I don't know. I think that's a kind of a problem for Apple.
Well, I think it's an interesting. What were you going to say, Alex?
No, I mean, because like what I've read, and I think Buster, you wrote about it. Like there was that tool, right? That there are a couple different tools. Like there's one for getting the backups, and then that's the crazy thing about this that I thought was the most interesting is this like underground community where they all have different roles and they all kind of like, you know, participate in hacking accounts and stuff. But
it's like it's a sport almost. Whole community online.
Yeah, but wasn't there that tool that iCloud would let you put in an unlimited amount of login attempts so you could basically brute force yourself into an account?
Not necessarily. So this is the part that I think that people are the most upset about as far as Apple's concerned, because on Monday a Python script emerged on GitHub, which is a repository for code, and people were able to use it to brute force your account, as Alex said. So it would just sit there guessing passwords one after another after another after another.
Right, from a dictionary, so yeah. 500.
And it was like that scene from Terminator 2 where that kid uses that machine to like hack ATM pin numbers, and it's like just like scrolling, right? And it's like, boom, found it.
That is a flaw, right?
I think that's a major flaw.
Well, you know? They patched that, and so now that doesn't work. But all that did was it just gave attackers an easier way to get your password. I mean, it's still easy for them to guess it with secret questions and things like that too.
But the question, if that tool didn't work, would they still be able to do what they did?
Yeah, they still do it. I mean, that's the whole Anon-IB community. They have a whole process worked out to do it.
So a lot of this stuff ends up kind of developing on this website called Anon-IB.org, right? And it's 4chan kind of offshoot.
Right. And it took a month to compile everything, and it was multiple teams. You know, it was a whole structure.
I believe it. It's unbelievable.
They call them rippers. They call them iCloud rippers.
So the diligent reporter that I am, I went to Anon-IB and investigated thoroughly. It's but I did check it out. And it's blatant. The conversations people were having about ripping or about stealing people's iCloud backups and stuff, it's just all right there. I mean, like, they're having open conversations about this stuff. And they're helping each other figure out how to steal people's, you know, iCloud backups and stuff. And they're trading, like, templates that they use, like email templates to, like, email people to get you to churn your photo backups on. In case you're not backing stuff up, so then they can then go in and use this tool. So the second part of this is there's this tool that's available called Elcomsoft, which is supposed to only be used by law enforcement, but it's available on torrents. You can buy it for the less savvy. You could buy it for $1,400. And once they have your username and password, they can use the software to spoof, I guess, your iPhone so that they can request your backup and your photo stream stuff from Apple. And because I guess two-factor authentication doesn't protect those two pieces, they can download your entire backup, all your photo stream photos, and then just look through your stuff.
That's the other biggest concern that people have been voicing about Apple security is that the backups are not protected. Even by two-step verification, they're not protected. Like they're so easy to get, and you can fake a token to authenticate the backup as, you know, this is mine, and it's really easy to do. And the fact that, and once you get the backup, you get everything, right? You get text, you get, you know, contacts, everything. So it's like,
You install it right onto your phone. So it's like you had their phone from that
really?
Period. Yeah, exactly. Wow. Yeah.
And Apple's been completely silent about that. And they've been silent about the unlimited login attempts. And they haven't said whether any of these people, because they said, okay, turn two-step verification on. That's how you can protect yourself. Did any of these people have two-step verification on? Because you can still get the backup even when it's on.
The
backups are kind of a tricky case, though, right? Because isn't it used most frequently if you lose your iPhone?
Right, but all you would have...
You can't do the two-factor authentication if you're going to use your iPhone to authenticate the backup. So,
I don't know. If they do it through iMessage, it could come to your Mac or your iPad. I guess that is complicated, but...
Adam, yeah, you know, Sorry.
It's striking that balance between sort of convenience and total 100% security, isn't it? Which is always right. Which has always been the problem. You know, it's how much authentication do you want? I mean, they could turn on really, really drastic authentication, like three-factor authentication.
I would demand five.
You know, much stronger passwords. And I think in most people's cases, you know, like, in fact, The Guardian, I think, did a story. They tried, all their tech reporters tried to crack each other's accounts and they couldn't get in because, you know, like a lot of the answers to the security questions aren't easily figured out. And it only works for celebrities because they put out so much information about themselves out there, you know, because they're public figures. So for most people, this kind of, you know, the kind of security that Apple set up, even though it's not foolproof, is, you know, for most people, good enough.
I think that's a really good point. I mean, Apple was saying these are targeted attacks. And I was reading a piece by Sam Biddle, and he said that celebrities aren't the only people being attacked. This has been ongoing. I'm paraphrasing here. And the iCloud accounts of ordinary people are being attacked as well. Yeah. But to your point, Leander, they're still targeted. I mean, yeah. I don't think this is a rampant problem. I mean, someone has to know who you are and want to break into your stuff.
But you see what it is. I mean, Biddle,
that
article.
That's still a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, they can still walk in. They can steal all your stuff without you even getting a notice that, hey, somebody downloaded, you know, a backup of your iPhone from a computer you've never used before. You should probably get notifications for that.
Right.
You know?
And then if they've got in, they can delete that email, right? Because they can log into your email account and delete the email.
Right. Well, that would come as like a push notification to your phone. That doesn't even have to be an email, you know.
Yeah. I really don't think that this, you know, the Apple security is perfect. I mean, that, you know, the fact that you could do a brute force attack on Find Your iPhone is mad. I mean,
it's crazy. Yeah. I read a really good article on TechCrunch where it said that the reason that Apple's approach to this is bad in terms of like how they're talking about it with the media is they're treating it like product PR. They're being as close to the chest as they can, which is the way they are about everything, and that makes sense for products, right? Because you don't want people to know about your product. But with security, you got to be transparent.
Absolutely.
They're not being transparent at all. They're wording everything carefully. They're, you know, it's the Steve Jobs equivalent of when he told people you're holding your phone wrong. You know, it's like, no, our iCloud's not to blame.
You're taking your duties wrong.
You know, your passwords aren't strong enough. It's not our fault.
Right.
But
I think Apple's always been a little bit, you know, careless about security because they haven't had the same security problems that like Microsoft has had. I mean, it's like Microsoft went through a whole decade of hell.
Yeah.
With all of the viruses and the Trojans and all the security problems, and became very open and very, very proactive about security. And, you know, Apple, because, you know, that kind of, it hadn't had to deal with the same security issues, I think, has become, you know, it's always had a bad reputation for dealing with security and being open about security.
And it's a product of Apple's growing popularity, right? Because they weren't the targets originally because they were so small, such a small part of the market. And now they're such a large part of the high-end market. And because they're only one OS and they only have one system, like Android gets hacked too, but there's so many different ways that people store things on Android and protect things. Apple, it's all one way for all these millions of devices. Of course, hackers are going to want to target that because it's a proven system. Like people have these templates of how to get into iCloud, and every single iPhone uses iCloud.
Especially when the reward is, you know, nude pictures of Jennifer Lawrence. There's probably a lot of nerds out there that are working really hard trying to get access to this stuff, you know, and it's kind of scary because, you know, Apple is moving into the whole cloud infrastructure, right? I know they're already there, but now they're going to be storing all of our photos in the cloud even more than ever. And they're trying to sell this to people. I mean, the timing of this cannot be worse for Apple.
Oh, my gosh. How are they going to market payments and my health data and like all that in
when
the
they
cloud?
Can't even keep your selfies safe?
Right.
Yeah. They're going to have to store my nudies in the secure enclave. That's the only way I'm going to proceed.
We have a nudie enclave.
You're going to need to use the Touch ID to access them. Adam, let me ask you this. Yeah. You have the developer background here.
Yeah.
Do you feel like Apple, or do you have an opinion on whether Apple should have more responsibility in securing these things from a programmatic, you know, level?
Yeah, I mean, everybody should. This isn't just an Apple problem. This is an industry-wide problem that we have in developer community.
Is it, though?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, there's guys out there that know what they're doing with security. I think there's a lot more developers out there that don't know what they're doing with security. And when you've got big teams of people on different parts, I mean, it looks like this attack vector, I guess, was an API for Find My iPhone. Is that right? Am I getting that sort of piece where the brute force protection wasn't implemented. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've built APIs, and if you don't stop to think about the stuff and implement it, you know, and it just gets through, you know, stupid as that sounds, you know, people mess this stuff up all the time. And I have friends who work in the security fields and, you know, kind of do these things as white hat sort of stuff. And they tell me about all this kind of stuff that goes on at places that you'd just be totally shocked. You know, it's like, we found this and we found this, and, you know, and that's what the hackers are learning. And that's what they're, you know, so that when Apple says was it a targeted attack, someone figured out, hey, look, there's no brute force protection on here. Let's, you know, slam on it and see what we can get. And this, unfortunately, was what they were able to find.
Yeah, like you say, you know, the whole it being an industry-wide problem. You know, Matt Honan for Wired wrote a great piece when he got hacked last year. Someone was looking for his Twitter handle, @Matt. Mm-hmm. And so they targeted him, and they managed to break into his .Mac account using some personal details that they got from Amazon, I think. So it was actually, you know, like someone spent a lot of time really digging into his life and phoned up Amazon and pretended to be him. And got some, I think, the last four digits of a credit card, which they then used at Apple to get his password reset. And
oh, wow.
On and on. It was a pretty complex hack, and it's beautifully laid out in this long feature that he wrote for the magazine. But it just goes to show, you know, I mean, like, you know, with a determined hacker, the whole paradigm of having passwords and password resets and using email as the primary sort of communication. It's like a universal password. Plus, you know, like that's where you get resets sent to. You know, the thing is broken.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they could access your email and then pretty much take a hold of all your digital life, that's pretty crazy.
Right.
And of course, this problem has the potential to only get worse. So, I mean, what can we do, guys? I don't know if any of you have any tips to make it so that people have a harder time gaining access.
Go off the grid.
You need to be like John Connor, back to the Terminator references. You need to go off the grid entirely.
I mean, we know Apple's saying this was a password thing, but I kind of buy that. I think that's really where a lot of this starts, is so many people just use, you know, an insecure password, and they use that same password everywhere.
Yeah, so, like on their luggage and also for their bank accounts.
You know, and I don't want to put it all on the end user, because, you know, obviously, as we pointed out, there were several areas where Apple failed on the back end side of things. But it's my understanding the accounts that got hacked were accounts that had passwords that would have been in a dictionary file, right? Your password should not show up in a dictionary file, and that takes forever. And maybe they were using like waterfall tables or something like that. I don't know specifically all the details of what was going on behind the scenes, but even still, you know, if I use 1Password, I think I'm up to 32 character passwords if I can get it.
Wow.
This is another problem in the industry. A lot of sites limit the password length.
Yeah. To stupid, or the short type lengths. Of characters you can use, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, it's a multi-tiered problem, but for the average person, just using a different password on every site, as inconvenient as that is, and using a really secure password is gonna protect you a lot, even, you know, when these targeted attacks start happening. Because they're going to, you know, it's like anything else, they're going to try and find the easiest ones to hack first. Right. So, you know, move yourself way down in the chain. It's like, we don't even want to bother with you because it's going to take forever for us to figure out yours. We'll go after this guy's over here who's, you know, password 1234.
Do you trust iCloud Keychain to use that, you know, and use Safari to you know, make passwords for you?
I have not been using iCloud Keychain.
I've still been
using 1Password to generate passwords. I have been letting iCloud Keychain store passwords, but I know they store that, you know, in an encrypted file, and that's pretty secure. But again, if my iCloud or, you know, Apple ID was hacked, well, then all bets are off, right?
Right.
That's what makes me paranoid about it, is like, if they can get access to one thing and then start accessing that, then you're really screwed, right?
And turn on two-step verification on everything.
I hate two-step verification.
It sucks,
it's the worst thing in the world.
It sucks,
but
like, I have it on my...
Every time you log into an account, your freaking iPhone has to be next to you, so you can get the code. I mean, it's like, here, have the nudies. I don't care. I don't want to do this.
I agree.
You just mentioned the other part of this that, you know, maybe I'm just not hip enough, but, you know, I've never uploaded a nudie photo to my iCloud photo stream.
Oh, Adam, you haven't?
I've been missing out on life, obviously.
Oh, come on.
Well, that's obviously another good way. Abstinence, kids, abstinence. Abstain from uploading your nudies because the internet is forever. And I think there's definitely shared responsibility. I'm with you, Adam. There's a lot of people heaping blame on Apple, but you know what? You need to have a tough password. If you're a celebrity, if you're anyone, but especially if you're a celebrity and you're posting topless pics of yourself in the shower to, you know, and you're using your phone, it's like, my gosh, you have to have a secure password. I mean, and it can't be something in the dictionary. My password that I use is, not going to tell you guys, but it's not in the dictionary. It's just some wacky password that I came up with, and it's filled with all kinds of different, oh my gosh, I need to change it. Yeah, but instead of an A, I use a 4. Exclamation point at the end.
I mean, and it doesn't have to be not memorable. You know, I used this technique recently where we needed a really long password, and we picked like 4 or 5 titles of books that were like our favorite books, and the first word from each title, and then separated it with a couple special characters and added some numbers, and we were done. You know,
that's the same kind of thing I do too, so you can still remember it.
Yeah, but it's super long.
Is it like 30 characters or something?
I'd have to count it. I don't remember. Yeah, it is probably like 32 characters. Something like that. Something crazy.
Mine's 4. I thought that would be enough, but maybe I should reconsider.
But I mean, there's that. But I mean, the industry does need to get better at, you know, making sure that they're doing their due diligence and plugging and closing as many of these holes as they possibly can. And just, you know, a simple one, like, don't let your server get, you know, be able to be brute forced in an API. I mean, that's like basic. So
really, is that a pretty basic tactic there?
Yeah.
Is that why so many people are kind of hopping on the Apple really screwed up train, is because of those kind of simple?
Yeah. And I'm assuming this was some sort of private, not public API. So they probably had to do a lot of digging just to figure out where this API was to begin with. And maybe, you know, that's the kind of thing that goes through some developer's mind, but it's just a stupid thing to do, is go, well, you know, this is an internal API and we don't publicly list the IP or the endpoint, and no one's going to find it. And if they do find it, they're not going to know what commands to send it. You know, those sorts of things, that's not good enough protection, obviously.
Can I just add one more thing before we
should have been filtering it too, especially if it was an internal API. You know, there should have been some sort of other filters to, you know, IP, you know, restrict IP or restrict access in other ways. But again, I don't know any details. I'm just totally, this is just general stuff that I'm talking about.
Sounds like Adam needs to go work on Apple security team.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to, so don't ask Apple. No. Before we move on, can I just add, isn't it kind of funny that there's so many like pictures that got leaked, but all over the internet, these things are just being like taken down everywhere. And I thought it was really funny because if this was a normal security leak, if Leander's nudies had leaked, Buster's nudies had leaked, they'd all still be up. You know, like there wouldn't be any taken down anywhere. But now like the FBI is involved. I just think it's
it's one of the celebrities that got her photo posted. She was like underage at the time. So the guy had like had his like hard drive name in the screenshot and like his location.
Really?
And they hunted him down, and like BuzzFeed interviewed him and stuff. And he's like lawyered up already. And he's
Did they find the guy who hacked these things?
He's not facing like child pornography. He's facing like child pornography charges.
Wow.
And, yeah, I mean, it's bad.
It's scary. Yeah,
it's crazy that you could go to jail for like manslaughter for like 7 years. This guy will probably be in Shawshank for life for doing this.
You know what's really amazing is that all these photos leaked, and we still haven't seen one damn photo of the iWatch.
Yeah. Hey, good segue, Alex. All right, happening conversation over best internet, best crowdsourcing name ever. I'm just going to put that out there. So tragic. But kind of funny. Before we move on, I want to say thanks to Squarespace for supporting this conversation. Hey, have you checked out thecultcast.com? Did you know we built that entire website without any code whatsoever? Well, it uses code, but we didn't use any code. We just drag and dropped all of our elements onto it. I think it looks good. Great, even. And it was super simple to build. And we just kind of picked the template that we wanted to use. We built everything out. You can add your social media. You can add image galleries, which, by the way, is really easy to do. You could connect your YouTube account and add videos. You could add your Twitter profile to it so everyone can see your tweets. And we got it up and running, and I'd say probably a week. The back end of Squarespace, I can say this from experience, is just as beautiful as the front end. I would say even more so. Squarespace just has the best designers working for them. And the entire system is really easy to use. It's easy to edit things. You can create a blog. You can create a storefront. You can create a gallery. I mean, the usefulness of Squarespace is just unending. And the best part is if you visit thecultcast.com, you'll notice it looks great on your iPhone. It looks great on your tablet. It looks great on your Mac or your PC. That's because Squarespace does all the magic in the background to make everything the right size. All the images get resized. You don't even have to worry about having your website be scalable. That used to be a big deal too. Adam, you're a web developer. Didn't you used to have to programmatically and intentionally build out websites so they looked good on all the different devices that visited?
Absolutely.
And it's probably great for your bottom line. But
yeah. No. I mean, it actually, it's funny because I've talked about this. I actually have clients that I send to Squarespace because, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes they don't have the kinds of budgets. They don't have the kinds of time. You know, they need something up fast and right away. And Squarespace provides a lot of really great tools. And even if they have a developer, a guy like me, you know, you can get in there and get into the code and stuff like that if you want to and really tweak it out. So you can start with one of their designs or you could build your own. I mean, there's a lot of flexibility there. So it's kind of like all in one solution.
And now that they've added the e-commerce section to it too, there's really nothing you can't build on the web with Squarespace. You can kind of do it all. Check it out. Head on over to squarespace.com and you can sign up for a free 2-week trial. They only ask for your email address and a password. Remember to choose something complicated, nothing simple. And you'll be up and running in no time. And if you decide to keep your website up, keep it going, you can save 10% off your order. Just enter code CULTCAST at checkout. You'll save 10% off any order. That could be a month of service. It could be a year of service. And I think if you do a year of service, you also get a free domain name. By the way, if you get stuck while you're designing your site, Squarespace has really good customer service. They're available 24/7 to help you. Everyone I've ever talked with there has been really friendly too. So they're always up to help you out. I want to thank Squarespace for supporting this episode. Okay. Let's hop into our September 9th predictions, guys. Big week next week. So at the end of last episode, as soon as we stopped recording, Apple officially announced they are going to be doing an event September 9th. I am so excited that I can hardly hide it. And I want to hear what you guys think is going to be announced at this thing. Where should we start? Maybe
we should start by saying that we're going to be there.
Oh, you are going to be there.
Yeah, we've got an invite for it.
Wow, Leander. Special. Yeah. Moving on.
We're going to be there with a photographer, and we'll do the hands-on and the whole live blogging and everything.
That's great. Nice. So are you going,
they've
Leander?
They've got LK next to Johnny Ive.
Yeah, where are you sitting, Leander?
Next to Johnny, between Johnny and Tim.
Are they gonna have their arms around you?
Yeah.
Just rubbing your hair. Stop it, Tim. It's so soft. Like, man, Leander really is moving on up in the world. Right. Well, that's awesome. Fantastic. So check out Cult2Mac Tuesday for live coverage of all the great stuff Apple's gonna be releasing. Yeah, Leander?
Right.
Accurate
Absolutely.
Statement?
Yep.
Woo wee. So let's talk about what we expect to see on stage. Shall we start with iPhones, Gentry? I have a question for you. You guys tell me what you think. Are we going to see a four-inch iPhone, a 4.7-inch iPhone, and a 5.5-inch iPhone? Adam, I haven't heard your thoughts yet. What do you think?
I hope so.
You heard it here first, folks.
I hope so. No, I think 4 and 4.7 for sure.
Yeah.
I'm waffling on the 5.5 with some of the latest stuff that's been coming out. But I'm really hoping, you know, that they're going to tell us there's one because, you know, all rumors seem to be pointing to the 5.5 having some sort of higher-end specs.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I don't want that big of a phone, I also don't want the phone that's not the top of the line in terms of specs. So I'm going to be really pissed, I guess, if they don't show a 5.5 and then they, like, I go buy my 4.7 and I'm on contract. And then in 2015, first quarter, they're like, here's the 5.5. Don't you wish you had this one?
Wait a second. I don't think they would do that. Do you? I mean, if they're going to announce it, they're going to announce it at September 9th at the event and then say, oh, it's not coming out for 2 months.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But what if it's like angled more as like to go with the iPads? You know, it's a you know, at the iPad event, it's a smaller iPad really than a big phone. I don't know. It's a phablet.
You got to think they need a 4-inch, right? Because everyone loves the 4-inch. So I was thinking maybe the 4-inch goes to the 5C. So there's your 4-inch. You get a 4.7, and then that's your standard size iPhone. Now, tell me what you guys think about this, because it's kind of weird they're releasing so many different sizes of the iPhone. It felt to me like maybe they need to differentiate. And I know Apple likes to reuse the same kind of naming conventions for different products. So I was thinking maybe we're going to see the iPhone Air 5.5-inch.
Why would that make sense for the name? Because it's
just because it's like a premium device. They have the iPad Air.
But the Air is not pitched as a premium device. The Pro is. They have the Retina Pro. So it would be the iPhone
Pro. For the computers,
but
what about the iPad Air? The iPad Air is the premium device for mobile. I stumped
you,
huh?
But well, that's because of what they were going from, because it was so thinner, and they were like pitching it as like thinner and lighter. Mm-hmm. But
so what if it's thinner and lighter?
And bigger.
You're not the first one to pitch it, but I think that the iPhone AirTag might go to the 4.7-inch and not the 5.5 one.
Yeah, that's gonna be the iPhone Jumbo.
Yeah.
Good thing Leander's not working on the marketing team at Apple. The iPhone Jumbo. You don't like
it. iPhone XL.
Yeah, right.
Now more Jumbo than ever. Yeah.
When they don't call it the Jumbo, Leander's gonna tell Johnny Ive it's the wrong name.
So, Leander, you think the 4.7 is going to be, if there was an Air, I'm obviously
Well, the 4.7, yeah, for sure. But, in fact, we have some guy who's trying to sell us a bunch of parts.
What?
Yeah, he wants
to. Give him the money.
Well, he has everything but the motherboard.
Really?
Screw him.
So we were like, and then, I kind of got part fatigue. Mm-hmm. Like,
but those flex cables.
Really? I don't know why.
Yeah, I know.
But the funny thing is, it doesn't have any logo.
Yeah, the Apple logo is cool. It's cool and it's nice. I can wait a few more days though. Plus, I kind of wanted, I still kind of want to have a surprise. You know,
it's not really a surprise anymore. I mean, we know what the thing's going to look like.
Well, the 5.5 might be like. There's been no parts. There's almost been no parts leaks for that. There's been a battery and a back case.
Yeah, nowhereelse.fr released what was reportedly the back of the case, and then also what they reported as like the battery for the 5.5. But other than that, we haven't seen anything.
There's been at least a few like independent leaks of the exterior. I mean, and it looks exactly the same as the 4.7.
Yeah, that's why I think they've been behind the 4.7.
Right.
Like, so I think it's definitely going to either be like non-existent when the 4.7 launches, or just in very, very small supplies.
Or that they delay the shipping. They say this ships in October.
Or it ships later.
It's not as far. It's not as far down the production chain for sure. It's not as, you know, the 4.7 is definitely in production. They've probably got millions of them already. But the 5.5, if they've started it, then it's they must have started it, because there's no way they could launch it if they haven't. In fact, they must be already manufacturing it in quantity. But that's going to be isn't that going to be the premier phone? I mean, that's going to be the one that sells the most, right?
I think so. I think most people are going to want the 5.5-inch screen, but maybe not. I think once you hold it, it'll be like...
They're going to be like Adam. He doesn't even want the 5.5-inch, but he wants the top of the end, like the top of the line phone, so he'll suffer with it.
If they're like, okay, well, the 5.5, you know, has a better processor, it has optical image stabilization on the camera, it has all these other things people are rumoring about. It's like, well, then why do I want the one with not that?
Yeah. Right.
True. And plus, you know, if reports end up being true, it will ship with a pair of Apple iCargo pants to hold it in your side pocket. So at least you'll have a case.
I may still end up. It's all going to come down to specs for me. So I need to know. I need to know what is available before I can really make a decision.
I'm sold just on the size of the screen. I mean, I've got total, you know, Galaxy Note envy.
Really?
Yeah. When I see those, like, oh my God, that thing is amazing. Look at it.
I see those. That thing is huge.
I used the HTC One last week, and I love that size, and it's 4.7.
And that's a good size.
I could see myself having that, but the 5.5 is just way too big.
Too big?
It's not even comfortable to hold in a hand. Like, it's not even, like, to hold it to my face, I would feel like an idiot. Like, holding that thing up is, like, like holding a brick to my face, it feels like.
I had one of those. It was called a Newton.
Oh man, I've been doing some research on YouTube. There's some great Newton commercials on there. Adam, you should check it out. If you own one, you'd probably really enjoy it. By the way, Alex, just check your upload. I'm getting some pretty gnarly some audio fuzzies, yeah. from your direction, brah. So, okay, let's talk about... So we already established we're probably going to see an iPhone 4. We're almost definitely going to see a 4.7, but we don't know if we're going to see a 5.5. So that's kind of going to be what we're all holding our breath for. I think they exist. I just wonder if they're going to be able to manufacture them in time. And I think if they don't announce them, that might be why. And I think that's probably why we haven't seen very many leaks. Like the 4.7 is obviously right. being manufactured.
Would you guys agree, based on part leaks, that A, the 4.7 is ready to go, the 5.5 is not coming out for at least a couple months, and the iWatch is basically not even entered production?
That certainly like, seems to be what it feels like, yeah.
And that's what reports have been saying, that we won't even see iWatch at all until January, at least. So, mm-hmm. and
so
that
you think
sense
they're going to announce it, but they're not going to actually...
Right, okay. not have it.
Yeah. I want to talk about iWatch. Sorry, Adam, go
theory,
ahead.
Well, there's a theory on the iWatch out there it's interesting to me. I don't know if you guys... So I do work with the Mac Observer, and my Brian Chaffin over there has kind of thrown out this theory that potentially the iWatch production has been happening here in the States.
Oh yeah, I did hear that.
Well, that and would explain that, why we haven't seen any leaks.
Yeah, and that's what's allowing the security to be a little bit tighter. You know, it's kind of the same way we've been hearing with this Sapphire glass and this plant. Like, there's a lot of those rumors that fly back and forth, but nobody seems to really know, is there enough for screens? What's going on? You know, and that's all happening in Arizona. So he has this kind of theory, and I find it interesting. I don't know if I buy it, but
I don't buy it.
But if Apple is doing that sort of thing, I mean, that is the kind of thing that would allow potentially for the leaks to be minimized.
It would be awesome. It would be an awesome surprise, but I don't buy it.
Yeah. I think you would actually hear about it if they, I don't know, because they would have to have a facility and they would have to have a contract with somebody. Right now they just have the Mac Pro facility. So I think they would have to have like some big infrastructure in the US for it and that they haven't
it
announced.
It does seem like it would be almost impossible to keep a secret, right? It's like your buddy Bill comes home from work and you're like, hey dude, what are you working on? He's all being secretive, right? Yeah. You're like, what the hell is going on? Like, just tell me. And he's like, just like flubbing his words and can't describe to you why he's like what he's working on. I mean, it seems like it would get out in some small way.
Yeah.
Even but though we may
do
not
we agree
see
really? I like that theory because I'd love it to be true and just be like, wow, that's an amazing feat for Apple to pull off. Are they going to do it?
But is it really that bad if Apple just announces it and then
I don't think so.
It doesn't come out for 3 or 4 months and they completely suck the air out of the wearable market before Christmas? And so Samsung and Motorola and all these companies that have watches that they want people to buy for Christmas, no one buys them because everyone's waiting for the iWatch.
Well,
they don't do anything. Well, I think it's Apple knows that product has to be way more than, you know, a device that's tethered to your phone and, you know, for functionality.
Okay, I'm glad you brought this up, Adam, because this is one of the things I wanted to talk about. I've heard reports that people said because Apple is releasing this at an event with the iPhone, that they're trying to signal that this is going to be like an iPhone accessory and it's going to basically be Apple's version of the Galaxy Gear, which would be an utter disappointment to me if that ends up being true. Do you think that there's any legitimacy to that? Do you think this is going to be just another iPhone accessory?
I don't buy it as an accessory. I think there's going to be expanded functionality when, you know, combined with other products in the Apple ecosystem. And I think that the keys are HealthKit, you know, what's happening with HealthKit and HomeKit. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be a lot of integration there. But I think it has to exist as a consumer sort of fashion product that someone can buy and use with some amount of functionality without having to be tethered to something else. If it's just that, then it's just sort of another Me Too smartwatch product
that would
or
be shocking.
Fitness band product. And I don't see Apple doing that.
They're not going to market it like an iPod Nano watch or whatever. It's going to be like, look at how closely this integrates with the iPhone and iOS 8 and all these APIs we have. Oh, now go out to this giant structure and play with it or whatever, whatever that thing is.
Yeah, so actually I'm glad you brought that up. So that giant structure. So Apple has built a big white box.
It's a bunch of treadmills.
It might be, actually. Who knows what it is? I mean, any ideas on what could be underneath this huge box? I mean, it's just like a giant, looks like a 2-3-story structure at the venue where they're going to be holding the event. No one knows what's underneath. Any guesses, Leander?
I think there's going to be some iHome stuff that no one's really talking about. Everyone's talking about health and fitness, but I think there's going to be, you know, HomeKit stuff there too. I think it'll have to, you know, it'll be a, some integration into, you know, smart home technology. Mm-hmm. You know, like opening your front door and turning on the heating when you get up in the morning. It'll sense when you're asleep and when you go to bed and stuff like that. So maybe there's a bunch of rooms in there. You know, they build a smart home.
Like a Johnny Ive, mini Jetsons home type design thing.
Well, I went to one when Apple launched the iPod Hi-Fi. I went to one of the, they did that at the you know, they launched it down at the town hall auditorium in at the Apple HQ, and they across the way they'd set up like a mini house to show off the Apple Hi-Fi. Remember that, the iPod Hi-Fi?
I do remember that thing. Yeah,
and Steve Jobs was there, and he was like walking from room to room. You know, they had a living room and a kitchen and a den, and they were trying to show off how this thing was going to rock. You know, the rocky tunes and in all these different situations. It was really actually it really wasn't that convincing, to be honest.
Well, but, apparently not, because this is not bad. Kill it after like a year or two.
Yeah, it never really went anywhere. That was a dud.
Let's run through some more iPhone expectations as far as features go. Feel free to pipe in here anywhere, guys. So better True Tone flash. We've talked about this in previous episodes, pretty much all this stuff. Better camera, obviously. More rounded design. All the design leaks that I've seen, leaks in quotations, I think look really good. There was actually a leak by...
Wait. What? Do you like the I'm calling it the Tron phone, because it's got those Tron stripes on the back. Yeah,
I do like those.
It looks like Tron suit.
So I like that they colored them the same color as the metal and not just white.
Yeah, some of the more recent leaks look better. I think even the ones we've seen most recently aren't the final color matched versions.
Right, yeah. Right.
I'm thinking they're trying to get even closer. So I think they've been messing with the plastics. So I'm hoping that's the case, because those early ones where it was just like white, awful.
See, I always look through the lens of, these are obviously early production models, right. You know, and they're probably giving these to case makers or something. Buster, what were you going to say?
Nothing, just that I'm stoked for it. It looks
good. I'm glad I asked you. Thank you for that sentiment. We talked about better LTE radio. So these images got leaked, quote unquote, again, from this company called Feld and Volk. Have you guys heard of this company? I have no idea who they are.
They're in Russia, and they do these really high-end mods of iPhones. Like, they'll put your real wood on the back case and
gold.
They
put like diamonds on it.
Yeah.
And like sell it for like 10 grand.
That's what I need to get a hold of.
10 grand.
Yeah, that's my kind of style right there. So they leaked a bunch of photos on their Instagram page, and some of them were echoed by, you know, Sonny Dixon, noted parts leaker. So these kind of looked authentic to me. And through some of the images, people in different forums were able to identify what they thought were going to be some of the iPhone's features, such as, surprise, surprise, an A8 chip with 1 gig of RAM, which apparently disappointed some people because they wanted 2 or 3 gigs. That seems like a good amount to me, but you know, I don't work for a non-tech, so I don't really know how that's going to impact the engineering of the phone. Especially considering that I've used a lot of Android phones that don't even scroll smoothly, no matter how much RAM they have in them, or no matter how powerful the CPU is, and they still can't even scroll right, and that's something that my iPhone 4 could do. Faster LTE modem was identified, so we talked about that Qualcomm modem that's been out for a couple years now, I think, and it's supposed to increase your data speed by like 50%. Here's an interesting note. So capacities. Now, this is something that we've talked about a ton. We were curious if we were going to see the end of the 16 gigabyte iPhone, but according to some leaked schematics by Geekbar, we're going to see a 16 gig version, a 32 gig version, a 16 gig version, a 64 gig version, and 128 gig version. I'm a little bummed that we might see 16, but isn't this so much better than 16, 32, 64? That $100 that you spend now is actually going to be worth it. Did we just lose somebody? Yeah, we lost Alex. Hey, good riddance. Finally. Ugh. I was hoping that would happen.
So 16, 64, and 128 will be the sizes, is the rumor.
That would be
interesting. I hate the 16, but at least you get a 128 option.
Yeah, and you know, for the extra $100 used to buy you 32 gigabytes, which is only an additional 16, and now it's buy you an additional math in my head, math in my head, math in my head.
32.
32, yeah. Thank you, Adam. I was almost there. Jeez. So that would be awesome because I would end up probably getting the 64. And
well, you know, they must have usage statistics, right? So they must figured that, you know, the 32 is probably the one that, I don't know, either fills up the most or the one that people don't use. You know, I mean, I'm surprised with the 16 too.
Well, the thing is that apps are getting bigger, and that's the problem. Like, I noticed, yeah, but I don't like the apps files themselves because they have to support more screen sizes are getting larger in size.
That was so kind of like creepy. Where'd you come from?
Oh, wait a second. Alex is back.
And you should, that's a good point. Yeah. You shouldn't listen to my math. Anyway.
It's called being on the Yosemite beta. But
64 minus 16 is 48.
Thank you. Thank you, Adam. You know what? I was just agreeing with you because I was tired of sitting there stalling.
Well, I know a bunch of people that don't have any apps on their phones.
I do, oh, too. I don't. Why? Either. I think the 16 mine makes sense.
No.
I have, well, to, you have to have at least 32.
At, yeah, least, right, 32. Me too, but 32 is too small now, you know, so I'm definitely going to go up to a 64.
Oh, for sure.
And the 64 is more compelling to get people to spend that extra $100, right? Because you got to think, what does a 64 chip cost them versus a 32? Like an extra,
well, like extra $40, bucks, yeah, at but most.
By the same token, what does a 32 cost them, you know, more than a 16? I'm kind of, I think, you know, both with the RAM on the A8 and the storage sizes, if that's the kind of thing they're doing, it just continues to make Apple look like they just cheap out on RAM.
Yeah. It's just like, that's where they use that to like maximize their margins, you know?
Yeah. Skimpy, that's the reason they have RAM over half
storage. Yeah. And they have these huge like $200 margins on each product.
Good point.
It's the reason
point.
They have 60% of the profit margins, yeah.
Let's see here, what else we got? So that pretty much covers all the different specs we're expecting. Let's talk about, okay, I think this is kind of all but confirmed, and this is very exciting to me. NFC, which I know we've clowned on endlessly for ages now, but it finally seems like this is going to end up being useful, and we've seen numerous reports from Bloomberg, from Wall Street Journal, now from Bank Innovation, that Apple is working with different partners like American Express, Visa, MasterCard, and now it seems reportedly Nordstrom's, to create a new payment system that they will use the Touch ID to kind of, you know, help you keep all your information secure. Does anyone think we're not going to see this?
I don't.
The payment system?
Yeah.
I believe in the payment system.
Yeah.
I don't know that the payment system is going to be tied to NFC.
Oh, really? So you think one can exist without the other?
I think NFC might be for other things.
The problem is that apparently all the parts are confirming NFC, right? Like,
yeah, I believe the NFC is going to be in there at this point. I just don't know. Oh, I can't understand why Apple would want to tie that to necessarily a payment system when they've got iBeacon that they've been pushing so hard into retail spaces and things like that. I mean, there's other technologies.
Well, doesn't it work with iBeacon? Isn't it just that it just begins the handshake, right, in a secure way?
Right. It would be used to
NFC is mostly useful for establishing a Bluetooth connection.
And NFC is already in use widely.
That's what I was going to say. It's kind of,
but there's no standard,
right,
among the credit card companies. And,
that
and
we know
I would think Apple's payment system would want to be tied to your iTunes account anyway, right? So that whole side of it is sort of taken out of it. So I just can't fathom, you know, it's like...
Why would you... So you don't think that, like, the idea of, like, Apple owning the account with your credit card because they already have it, and then NFC using to establish the handshake with all these retailers who already have NFC in place, more so out of the America than in, but America.
But is it
going
to be through their little terminal? I mean, they have NFC in the terminal, right? We're talking about the little tap to pay,
right? Like it's like an easy pass that a MasterCard or Amex does, or whatever, where you just scan your Android phone that's got NFC over the thing and it pays.
But that's the thing is, my understanding, they each have different systems, right? And they each use different. Well,
Apple would be the one,
different NFC.
Right. Apple would be the one that unifies it, right? It'd be like going to like when you go to a coffee shop and you see the Square logo, like, you know that, you know, it's going to be this unification of that, I guess, is what they're trying to do.
So they're still going to have to add a little Apple thing to their terminal.
It'll be like that. You'll probably walk in and see like Easy Pay on the register or something, or like iPay or whatever, and know that you can use your iPhone to pay. And because Nordstrom already has those NFC equipped, like,
I can
terminals.
Do that in an Apple store without NFC right now.
Yeah, but it's only at Apple Store. I mean, NFC is ubiquitous, right? What if they were like, this payment system
doesn't
work anywhere?
So the NFC is just to facilitate a handshake? Is that what we're saying?
In some systems, yeah, I think so. I mean, that's what they were saying, like with, I think when they're using it for like Bluetooth speakers and stuff like that, you know, or door locks as well. electronic keys. The NSC makes an initial secure, you know, trade some keys or something like that, and then you get a Bluetooth connection.
Yeah. I just
has a bit more bandwidth.
Yeah. Okay. Well. You're the first. Honestly, you're the first people that have brought this up with that have had a valid answer as to why the NFC needs to be in there. That's just what I couldn't figure out. And then I know there's some home automation systems that use like this NFC. So I thought, well, maybe they're throwing it in for that. Internationally, you know, there's micropayment systems and like rail systems that use NFC technologies. Yeah. So having that integrated in the phone, they could open third-party APIs to take advantage
McDonald's,
of that.
Yeah, there was like a leaked document that McDonald's was going to be adding NFC to all their U.S. stores.
Yeah. So, I mean, it makes sense for it to be in there. I just don't, I don't know. Where I was getting hung up is Apple really going to use it for something they're doing? Or are they just throwing it in there because, you know, the chip they can get in there and there's lots of other uses for some of the other things that they're doing.
Well, it's the rumor that cried wolf too, right? It's been reported for like 6 years. So
yeah, but now those Feld and Volk images, along with confirming some of the other parts, confirming they also showed an NFC chip in there too. So I don't know. I mean, again, September 9th. Fingers crossed on this one, guys. You know, I'm a big fan of NFC.
And didn't we say like 3 weeks ago, Irfan? Didn't you say like there was no way there'll be NFC?
I don't know if it was three weeks ago. But Alex, you weren't on the last couple shows where I admittedly have changed my position on this, because now it finally starts to make sense. Where it's like before, people were saying they needed to add it because Android had it. I'm like, Apple doesn't care if Android has it. They'll only add it if there's a reason to add it. And now there seems like a really valid reason.
There's a few, actually, at this point. Like I said, I think there's a few now with, you know, again, I think that some home automation systems use NFC technologies, and if they're getting into that market, so that's just several of the markets they're entering could probably benefit from having NFC in there.
Holy moly. All I got to say is, for those of you that own stock, if Apple ends up being a middleman between all these different payments worldwide for everything you buy, oh my gosh. Can you imagine? They're going to be like...
Until they get hacked, right?
Well, yeah, until some 14-year-old hacks it and steals all your information. They're going to be taking a cut, maybe, of all these different transactions. That would just be... That's like a stock analyst's erotic dream.
That's called Square pooping its pants.
Right.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Although you wouldn't be able to accept payments, I don't think.
Right. And everybody's always said, why doesn't Apple just buy Square? And
it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? They don't need to, right?
Like they're going to do it on their own. So.
Yeah, very well. But you know, if they bought Square, they would get Jack Dorsey.
Who wears
the coolest sunglasses ever.
Coolest guy ever.
You guys ever seen his Instagram? Check it out.
He doesn't Instagram anymore.
Stop. I just remember our conversation a while ago, Alex, where you're like, check out Jack Dorsey's Instagram. It was just like him staring into the camera for 10 seconds silently in all these different locales. And he was wearing like really cool glasses. Anyway, we're going off the rails here. It only took like 50 minutes for us to get there. Should we wrap up with some iWatch chat? So we talked a little bit about it so far, but let's just cover these last little bits. So according to DigiTimes, they're saying that the iWatch may not be available at the September 9th or announced at the September 9th event because it's in the engineering verification test stage, and it probably won't be ready. This, of course, contradicts Recode and Bloomberg. Guys, what do you think? Are we going to see it or not?
I think if Recode said you're going to see it, you're going to see it.
I think that's true too.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see it too because they're entering the part where they're going to have to start go into like FCC testing and some of the more open pieces where they're going to have to kind of reveal that they're working on this thing.
So they can't hide it anymore.
Yeah, the same kind of thing that they did with the iPhone. I mean, remember when they launched the original iPhone, they announced it way in advance. Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing with the iPad.
Same with the Mac Pro and the Apple TV. Everything was announced, you know, 4 to 6 months in advance.
Price for iWatch. Recode is reporting it could cost as much as $400 for the mythical device.
Uh-huh. That doesn't sound bad.
That actually doesn't sound bad to me either. $400?
I'd buy
two. Wear one on both wrists.
I mean, if 200 is the 400 is the highest end model, then probably they're going to have at least one for $199. You'd think, you know, they'll probably have three price points for them. So that sounds fairly affordable for most people,
dude. And we were hearing some prices. I mean, way
like
back
thousands
as high
of
as
dollars.
Like $1,000-$2,000. That seemed absurd to me. Yeah. That's like. That's like MacCast money right there. I mean,
I don't know about that.
And Recode says it's going to be like a lineup, right? So I could see them doing like the iPod route where they do one price initially and then like here's a cheaper one, here's an even cheaper one, here's an even, like event as the market gets saturated. Like,
right. It's going to be high out of the, it's going to be a premium out of the gate.
Because the iPhone was ridiculously expensive out of the gate, right?
Yeah.
So Steve Ballmer laughed at it because he thought it was, you know, because it was so expensive.
No one was going to buy it.
Noted tech analyst Steve Ballmer laughs at iPhone.
Because aren't the Gears and the Motorola 360s and stuff right in that 300, 350 like price range, something like that? Yeah. So if they're doing that, you can count that Apple's going to be a little bit higher than that.
For sure. I'm so excited about this device. I'm ready for new Apple hardware. We've been talking about, Adam, I'm sure as you have, we've been talking about these things for like a year now.
A year, yeah.
And Apple kind of has, you know, made it so that all their hardware now gets released like once, maybe twice a year.
I hate it. My bank account can't take it.
Yeah, it's going to be an expensive month
like
for all of us.
Stockpile money for the end of the year.
But at least you and I and the rest of us, we get to write it off as business expenses. Everyone else has to just buy it outright. You got to start your own
That write-off, as much as people think, is like great. It's not that big. You know?
Yeah, it really isn't, right? It's like spend a dollar, save 30 cents. Okay, I think that probably wraps up here, guys. Hopefully you guys enjoyed all of our hardware predictions. September 9th is the big day. Make sure you keep your eyes on cultamac.com for all of the details. I mean, it's going to be like...
Oh, iOS 8 will come out too. Don't forget about that.
Oh, yeah, forgot about that. And then, of course, Yosemite. Blood. Do you think they'll announce anything more about Yosemite, Alex?
No, I don't. I don't think we'll hear about it.
I don't even know if they'll say anything about it.
They won't say anything about the Mac, October. Probably. Yeah.
I'm really excited about that, too. I want an iWatch to be able to track like my heartbeat and all these crazy like metrics that we've heard it's going to be able to keep track of. Mm-hmm. And I've been using different kind of fitness devices to keep track of those kinds of things, but I haven't fallen in love with any of them. So I'm hoping that iWatch is not just simply, as some people have kind of anticipated, just an iPhone or an iPhone accessory that just helps you like read your iMessages on your wrist. Like, that's the stupidest thing ever. I do not want to do that. I don't want an Apple's version of the Galaxy Gear. And if we get that, I'm going to protest outside of Cupertino until Tim Cook comes and personally apologizes to me.
Here's the thing on that, and that's why I think Apple's taking their time on this. I think they don't have anything else in the market that's really threatening them. But more importantly is exactly like you said, if it's just another one of these Me Too products, I mean, think of the field day that Apple's going to get from industry people and analysts who have been already saying Apple's lost their edge.
Guys,
they can't innovate. They can't. I mean, if they do that, it's over.
We know that this is going to be crazy, right? It's going to be
crazy.
No, I mean, come on. Eddie Q and Tim Cook are like, it's the best like product pipeline we've seen like ever. Like, they don't. Apple has hyperbole. I know they have all those words that they use, but like, they've pimped this way too much for it to like be a letdown. Like, they've really set the bar really high in terms of expectations. So I'd be very surprised if it's anything like anything on the market. It's going to be how the iPhone was to the BlackBerry. It's going to be like, oh my gosh, of course that's what a wearable's like, you know?
Well, exactly. And if not, it's going to be 100% the other way. That's the thing. It's going to be like a train wreck.
If not, stay tuned next week for the Windows cast.
Exactly.
The Bobcast.
Who is talking
What's
about
going on with
Windows
the
9? Okay, guys, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. Oh, but before we roll out, I want to say thanks to Automatic for supporting this episode. Guys, if you want to save hundreds on your gas, never forget where you parked. If you want to diagnose your engine light and get help in a serious crash, make sure you check out automatic.com/cultcast for 20% off your first order and free shipping. Hey, I want to give a quick shout out and thanks to any of our listeners who left us feedback. We read every single comment that you send us via the cultcast.com/feedback. Please leave us your messages there. Let us know what you think about the show, new segments, anything else. Shout out to Tony Gibson, Mike Maloresi, Diego Borghello, Varda, Jean-Luc Parent, I like that name. Nick Twig and Filthy Mac Nasty. We read all your comments. Thank you. Thank you guys for those. Thecultcast.com/feedback if you want to send us your comments. Hey, if you want to let us know what you think is going to be announced on September 9th, hook up with us on Twitter. I'm at Airfun, Buster's BST3R. Alex is Alex E. Heath. Adam, you're MACCAST. Is that right?
MacCast, yep.
Fantastic.
Two C's.
And we'll be back next week, of course, to talk about the incredible nerdgasm of hardware that we're about to be endowed with by Apple. Until then, this has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. Hey, Adam, by the way, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having
me
again.
Always a pleasure having you.
Always fun, yeah.
And I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Won't be next week. The time has come for new hardware. That's what happens when you try to ad-lib and read something at the same time. Bunster.
Sluts Magoo, what's up?
Is that you rooting around my iCloud backup?
Oh, yeah.
I can only feel bad for you for what you've probably found there.
Oh, dude. Let me just say this. You got a nice butt.
It actually wasn't mine. It was L. Caney's.
Oh, dude. In that leopard print thong, though, it was immaculate.
He looks darn good in a leopard print thong.
He must work it out, man.
I keep asking him to stop sending me those videos, but he hasn't yet.
Well, I would ask him to send them over to me. Just keep filing them over here, man.
Hey, looks like we're getting some static.
Yeah, was that me?
Yeah, it sounds like it's you.
Okay.
Let me know if you can hear me okay.
Yeah, I got a lot of crap open, so. Okay.
Dude, I'm hoping we don't have any audio issues again this week.
Yeah, that was pretty crappy last
week. I've got a slight conspiracy theory going here that I really think that it's possible that because I talk so much crap about Comcast, they're throttling me.
I doubt it.
They're throttling Skype.
It definitely is. I feel like they would have to be listening. Somebody would have to be listening to the Cultcast, though, and that's just very unlikely.
I make fun of them on Twitter. I'm so blazing about it, or brazen about it. You know, like, when I talk about them, I don't hashtag them. I just do @replies when I'm talking, so I know they see it.
Yeah.
they're probably totally limiting that bandwidth.
Man. Yeah, I hope you have a red flag on your account for life.
And as I was visiting Anon-IB for research purposes, they're gonna broadcast it to everyone. AirFontsWebHistory.net.
Is that Alex Heath?
Yeah.
Oh, can't wait. What? Oh, so what's new in the Apple world this week, man?
Oh my gosh, so much to talk about.
I'm reading this Vice article called "I Got Cocaine Blown Up My Ass So You Don't Have To."
Was that written by L. Caney?
No, it mentions him as a pioneer in the field.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Hmm. Apparently it is.
I thought it was the other end that is where you wanted the cocaine to go in.